We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Results of Muhlenberg College's Institute of Public Opinion Spring 2024 Pennsylvania Public Health Survey were released last week. It's a unique poll in that many of the questions don't have to do with politics or candidates. For example, 7 out of 10 of those surveyed had positive responses to the quality of health care in the state. There was an increase in the number of respondents who said their mental health was better than a year ago. However, that doesn't mean politics is not mentioned. A majority of those surveyed said politics and current events were a major source of stress for them. To talk more about the findings on The Spark today is Dr. Christopher Bork, director of Muhlenberg College's Institute for Public Opinion. Chris Bork, welcome to the program.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well. Now, as I said, this survey is unique. What's its purpose?
Yeah, it is unique for us. Yes, you might guess in a place like Pennsylvania in an election year, we're going to spend a lot of our time polling politics. In fact, we're in the field right now starting our next politics poll, if you will, presidential politics, state senate races. But our goal as a research institute is to understand broader opinion, broader attitudes, beliefs. Primarily of Pennsylvanians. We do some national surveys also, but Pennsylvania is our focus. And every year, in conjunction with our public health program at Muhlenberg for the last decade plus, we've sought to gauge public attitudes to an array of health matters facing Pennsylvania, issues that are rising in terms of importance according to public health and epidemiological studies, problems that are facing Pennsylvania, and see where Pennsylvanians are at. And as you noted, we just released our latest round of this, the 2024 study that hopefully covers some of those topics and issues that we think are of a very important nature for the state.
As you mentioned, this is a decade-plus poll, so you have something to compare it to, or a lot to compare it to, really. So what's your biggest takeaway from this poll?
You know, there's a whole bunch of things. It's always hard, Scott, to say this is the takeaway. It's like, you know, a parent, you love all your children. And so there's lots of topics in here that I think are important. And you did mention, you know, as much as we might, you know, not want to focus on politics, I'm always drawn to the impact of politics on our lives and our emotional health in this case. And we did see, right, that Pennsylvanians report that they, among the stressors in life, and we have lots of stressors, right, our personal relationships, our jobs, our income, our family, you know, situations. But one that stood out is politics. And with a significant portion, a majority is saying that it's either a major or at least somewhat of a stress on their lives in Pennsylvania. And that's probably not all that shocking, Scott, in some ways, that Pennsylvania is at the heart of American politics, right? We are a purple state. We are a swing state. We are seeing lots of contested races from the presidency, the Senate, to congressional races, state house, state senate races. We're loaded with politics happening all the time. We get bombarded with more ads than almost any other place in the country. We are constantly in the midst of these political moments, if you will. And Pennsylvanians report that takes a bit of a toll on their mental health. And we're not alone, right? I've compared this to national studies too, Scott, and lots of Americans are reporting that politics is a stress. We're in a difficult time in terms of our politics. But I think looking more narrowly at the Commonwealth, that's very, very true. And that individuals across demographics, if you look at our cross tabs at the end of our study, it's not just Democrats, it's not just Republicans, it's not women or just men or across age groups. It's widespread across various cohorts within the Keystone State.
Often when you're asking poll questions about an issue, in, you know, for example, you know, we follow up by talking about, well, what can be done about it? Are there solutions? Are there policy changes that voters would support? When politics is their biggest stressor, what can you do about it other than ignore it? And that leads to not being, you know, up to date or informed, maybe not voting, keeping the television, radio, or newspaper, you know, tuning those out. I mean, there really isn't much of a good solution to that, is there?
Yeah, that's a really great point, Scott. You know, we think from a public health profession, or and the public health fields, how do we intervene? How do we make things better, right? When there is a public health problem, be it an infectious disease, an environmental agent, you know, a social issue. And this one's particularly vexing, as you mentioned. You know, politics is part of our lives. We're citizens. We're engaged in it. So how do you get around that stress? As you said, some people do just check out. Lots of studies have said that after particularly stressful elections, people seek refuge in sports or entertainment or science fiction, right? I'll even admit myself, because of what I do. You know, you go through an election cycle. Last thing I want to do is watch politics on TV. You know, I'll watch the Phils or the Eagles or whoever. I'm a Philly sports fan, or put on some mindless comedy to try and get myself in a more relaxed state. And so people do escape that. There's also efforts. While it's hard, Scott, to try and use interventions, if you will, to bring people to a place where they can talk about politics and speak about politics and think about politics in a way that might erode some of the tension, you know, getting people together that sometimes you think, well, I can't possibly talk to those folks because they have these different views. And you find these venues to do it. They're smaller in nature. We see them across the state and across the country. And I think they're valuable. How widespread they are and how many people can engage in those is another question.
Well, I'm a Philly sports fan, too. And I got to say, there's stress there, too. So
a wonderful point, as I talk about. I don't know why I escaped to there. It could be rom-coms or something.
Yeah,
but I'm drawn
mean.
Back.
Oh, I'm going to watch anyway. But all right, so those two responses I referenced in the introduction, positive about health care and better mental health than a year ago, that would seem to indicate that Pennsylvanians are feeling better about themselves, are they?
Yeah, you know, on the margin, it's always important to think about that and the direction of the trend and the overall perspectives that we are given by Pennsylvanians. You know, we are still coming, you know, evolving from a pandemic. This is major public health crisis that we've lived through as Pennsylvanians, as Americans, as people around the world. And so in some ways, as we emerge, things like healthcare, right, the healthcare system incredibly stressed during the pandemic, the challenges, right, for people with chronic diseases getting access and the quality and type of care being stressed, if you will, within the system, and so much attention directed to the pandemic itself, that I think we've seen over the last few years, Pennsylvanians saying that on the whole, they're more positive about the type of health care they receive. And that makes sense, if you will, and that's nudged forward. The mental health ones are also, I think, you know, qualify a little bit. Certainly, you see a direction where people are saying they're feeling a little better than they were a year ago. And that was right last year when we looked at this too, in that direction. And that's good news. This comes, although, you know, the finding's positive, with broad indicators that not everybody is seeing that improvement and everybody is feeling it. I'm having some of the staff been working this week at really breaking out the mental health questions for a subsequent report that we're putting together. And you do see major differences across generational cohorts. Younger Pennsylvanians are far less likely to report positive mental health evaluations and positive direction. This is part of a national challenge, if we will, in terms of mental health for younger individuals, adolescents. We don't speak with, you know, teenagers in this particular poll, but a lot of the data right now shows significant mental health challenges among younger Americans and Pennsylvanians. And we do see that when we start to break out how people are viewing their mental health in the state. Younger individuals are far less likely to have positive reviews.
One final question, Chris, along the lines of mental health. And this is a unique question. In fact, I don't know if I've ever seen this question asked in a poll about loneliness. Since the pandemic, we've heard so many people are lonely, but yet the results of the poll don't seem to bear that out.
Yeah, and it's another one that I'll qualify a bit. First of all, Scott, you know, as you mentioned, there's a lot of written about this in the public health literature, broader discussions in the United States about us being lonely, and that the pandemic magnified that because of the isolation that was brought about and for many Americans. And so we, is one of the reasons we put it in the poll, right? And we've looked at this in the last couple of years in different frames, different items in our questions. And as you mentioned, most Pennsylvanians, about 6 in 10, report either rarely or never saying that they feel lonely, right? Or that this is something that they're dealing with. However, you see, you know, again, this is why we think about polls percentage wise, right? You have about 11 that say they're often or always lonely, 11%, that is. That's about 1 in 10, right? People that are always feeling, you kind of extrapolate that across, you know, an adult population in the state of, you know, upwards of 10 million. And that's a significant group, if you will. And then you add in, you know, those that say sometimes for this, and you're starting to get into about 4 in 10 Pennsylvanians that either always, often, or sometimes are reporting that they're feeling that. So on the whole, for most individuals, it might not be something that describes their life, but certainly a significant minority, if you will, of adult Pennsylvanians are reporting some degree of that, some pretty extensively, about 1 in 10.
All right, let's talk about some of those hot button issues, abortion. And again, the question was asked somewhat different, in a somewhat different way. Should access to abortions be more limited in Pennsylvania? So what did you find?
Yeah, and this is, I love, again, your evaluation, Scott, is that we've asked, you know, I've been doing this for about 25 years now at Muhlenberg, and we've asked lots of questions dealing with reproductive rights and abortion and different frames, different structures. So we wanted to put one in here that kind of looks at one of the big debates. Should we restrict abortions more or access in the country? We're seeing this play out in the political realm, the national realm, the legal realm. We found out that most Pennsylvanians do not support that. The broad direction that we framed in the question, do we think it should be more restrictive? And a majority say no. That aligns largely with lots of other public opinion that's been taken in Pennsylvania on the question. Again, different frame, different way we're looking at it. But certainly we see more Pennsylvanians favor the direction of not limiting more. Now, as you might guess, I was talking before about some issues where we see across on politics, everybody's saying they're stressed by it. This is where we do see those partisan divides and gendered and age divides really start to pop when we get into these policy questions, with big divides among Democrats and Republicans, significant divides among men and women on this issue, with their views about reproductive rights and abortion restrictions. And so those political aspects of this and kind of the partisan and deeper social divides that we see are quite apparent on this question.
Just to break it down, 59% to 41%, 59% disagree that there should be more restrictions. 37% of those strongly disagree. Okay, another question, hot button issue, stronger restrictions on firearms. What did you find there?
Yeah, it's actually similar, Scott, in terms of most Pennsylvanians, in this case, most people said on reproductive right or abortion, don't support more restrictions. On firearms, they do support more restrictions. Again, we frame this broadly. You know, we're not looking at any particular policy option, but we do see a majority of Pennsylvanians are in favor of tighter restrictions on firearms. Of course, firearms like reproductive rights are one of the kind of cornerstone cultural and policy issues that often divide us. And again, if you look internally in these questions about the divides that we often see based on partisanship, age, educational attainment, it plays out there, Scott, with Democrats being much more supportive than Republicans, for example, in terms of their views on this topic.
But overall, it was 59% to 41% favoring or supporting more restrictions on firearms. Another question that I found interesting, or the result interesting, supporting marijuana legalization. Now, it didn't surprise me that the majority support marijuana legalization, because almost all polls show that in Pennsylvania. What did surprise me a little bit was it was 49% was the majority, and that differs from some other polls. It's not as strong as what some other polls. Any explanation for that?
Yeah, this is so right, Scott, and it's the way we frame the question. So you're right. We've seen in our trend line over time more and more Pennsylvanians support. Largely over the last decade, we've seen that support legalization. So I'm going to read the question just the way we framed it. We said, I'd like to ask you a question about marijuana. First, do you favor, oppose, or neither favor nor oppose the complete legalization of marijuana for any purpose? This is a classic as we talk about wording questions, right? We explicitly include in ours a neither favor nor an oppose option. That's not sometimes individuals volunteer those options. We say, okay, do you favor or oppose? And if they tell us they neither, we'll mark it down, but we won't prompt it in the question. And I know some good friends and others that poll this question in the state sometimes do that. And there's nothing wrong with it. These are classic, differences in how we might frame a question. So ours, I think, on the whole, will reduce the amount of people that either favor or oppose, because we explicitly give them the option to neither. And that's about 20% of Pennsylvanians are in that category. They didn't express a strong opinion. Among those that do, as you mentioned, we're right around that 50% mark, 49%, which is close to last year. And the 31% opposition was identical to last year. But the last 2 years, we did see this modest change. And I say this is modest, right? Of support ebbing ever so slightly from its highs a few years ago in the mid to upper 50s down to around the 50% mark. The opposition slightly rising from about 25%. Is this big? No. Can it signify something? And I think, again, I would raise the prospect that perhaps it is some dissatisfaction with how marijuana is playing out as part of our daily lives, where we see it, where we smell it, where it's part of kind of contemporary life in America. Again, that's on the margin. I have looked at some of the national studies that have shown some leveling off over the last few years of support for this, not declines, but leveling off. And I think that's part of the discussion that results like this should help us discuss.
The word crisis is used often today in news reporting, especially. But those who were surveyed don't see aggressive driving, fracking, climate change, obesity, or domestic violence as being in the crisis category, or the majority don't. So what do they see these issues as?
Yeah, they more often than not, they see them as problems, right? Right. These topics, that we talked about, from aggressive driving, which, by the way, post-pandemic, why did we put this in? Lots of the studies that are out there point to this. So it raised our attention, our antennas went up. Of course, in a Pennsylvania, an issue like fracking has long been discussed, regarding its public health issues, and climate change. Not much more need to be said about that. It's an issue of our day. So we looked at that. How do people view them? Do they think of them as a problem? Do they think of them as a crisis? And as you note, Scott, something like aggressive driving, only about 1 in 10 see it there. Now, about 7 in 10 say it's a problem, right? That it's not a concern, and that's important to look at. A crisis might, if people think about a crisis, they might advocate for more immediate attention, more immediate policy solutions. And as someone that studied an issue like climate change for a while, we saw in our poll About a third of Pennsylvanians think it's a crisis. Just under half think it's a problem. Only about a quarter don't think it's a problem. But that lack, sometimes we say, of immediate salience, that they want it addressed now, could be a hindrance on some of the policy efforts. And as someone that studied climate change forever, I think that remains one of the big challenges, just how important do people see it at the moment. Mm.
Chris, we only have about 30 seconds left. I want to thank you very much for being with us today. So the takeaway, I ask you about the takeaway, but how do you want this information to be used?
You know, I love this. I usually do this in conjunction with my policy course, Scott, and I talk about it. I think, well, it's a democracy. The issues, the concerns of the public should be part of that broader discussion, right? Legislators, I love when policymakers reach out for more detailed analysis. So I hope it informs those making policy, and I hope it informs those that are in the public and looking at the issues.
Christopher Bork is director of the Muhlenberg College Institute for Public Opinion, talking about the Institute's public health survey here in Pennsylvania. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks, Scott. Always a pleasure.